College Football Nerds here doing a interesting, really interesting hypothetical with Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. A hypothetical playoff scenario because y'all have looked at the schedule this week and you know it's a little bit lean. Yes, there are some games that we could model and we could talk about, but we have to maximize our content to eyeball ratio. Your eyeballs are here, which means this worked. Let us know in the comments how you think this playoff would play out. And the whole point of this is to get y'all mad at each other to talk that helps us in the algorithm. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. And we'll get down there and talk with you, but we are not going to predict these games. We've set the model up so we would have an interesting talking point. And a lot of people, Josh, don't realize that. Like, when we run our models during the week, yes, a lot of times they're very accurate and it can come out pretty good. But really what we want to see is like, oh, here's an interesting point in what it expects you to get in yards per play. Or it's finding some things about your defense that you might think are good, but relative to other competition is not that great. It's not necessarily a predict the score, you know, don't be betting in your house on this thing. It's to drive discussion. Often we disagree with the model. Georgia fans are here because you and I both absolutely nailed that Kentucky game last week and they want more from us. So, all right, Justin, why don't you set us up with the first game of the semifinals? Tell us what the model says and we'll talk off of it.
We set this model up with the assumption that Oklahoma wins out, that Ohio State wins out, and just for kicks, we said, okay, let's assume Alabama goes. They play Georgia in the SEC championship. They win that game, and Georgia and Alabama both get in. You could easily put Cincinnati here instead of Alabama. I think if Georgia beats Alabama, you're probably going to get Cincinnati. But these were just the four that we decided to run with. And so you end up with Oklahoma 1. I think you probably have Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Georgia 4. Ohio State and Alabama could flip 2 and 3. It doesn't actually matter for any of these purposes. So that means our first game here is Oklahoma, who'd be undefeated, versus Georgia, who'd have one loss and be a non-champion 1v4. And the model has it 33-18 Georgia over Oklahoma. Now, what is the model seeing? And it's pretty simple, okay? So this model we don't factor in like personnel and injuries and that sort of stuff too. Because if you do that, I basically have to tell the model what to ignore or not to ignore. It just looks at your team as it is. And you're about 1/3 Caleb Williams, 2/3 Spencer Rattler in terms of meaningful stats for what went into our model. And Oklahoma's just not good enough offensively to overwhelm Georgia. I mean, Georgia's a 10-yard per attempt team, almost 5-yard per carry, dominant team, not only on defense, which 51% of opponent rushing averages, 70% of opponent passing averages, those are nuts numbers. You'll notice with all these teams, rush average numbers are a lot lower than passing average, and that's because it's a lot easier for a good defense to stop the run than it is for it to stop the pass. 70% is about as low as it gets. You can get it down to about 65% of opponent passing averages. But the thing with Oklahoma, I mean, they're still vulnerable through the air, through the run. They're a good defense, but they're not otherworldly. And Georgia is just so good against an Oklahoma team that has been pretty sputtery. It has a hard time seeing them win this game, and that's why you end up seeing 33-18. Basically the same points, like you talk about, the Kentucky game. You had it 30-13, and our model in that game was pretty on. It had 25-16 Georgia-Kentucky. You end up with about the same scoring Georgia had versus Kentucky, so it's respecting Oklahoma's defense. It just thinks Oklahoma's offense, as where it stands based off so far in the season, is going to have a heck of a time scoring even 20 points against this incredible Georgia defense.
Yeah, and the Caleb Williams factor is a reasonable discussion point that Oklahoma fans are going to come back with. And I am usually hesitant to say, okay, we've got 6 quarters of, you know, game on this person, so now let's say that it totally changes the offense. But I think it's pretty clear to see, like, Oklahoma wasn't scoring with Rattler against bad defenses, against mediocre teams. They weren't scoring. So what they did against TCU is impressive. What they did dropping him in the middle of the Texas game is even more impressive. So I'm willing to give a lot of fudge factor here because I do think the model is really looking at what it sees with Spencer Rattler. And make no mistake, that Oklahoma offense, I don't think, is scoring 18 on Georgia, because Georgia's defense is this good. But, Josh, is it possible with Caleb Williams that what he brings to the table in terms of stressing a Georgia defense, having them not be able to focus on one thing like they did with Kentucky, that it does completely change the calculus in this matchup?
It does. And again, our model does take that into consideration. And look, it's not just what's your average yards per play? How many points did you get per yard? It's a little more involved than that. It's a little more like, you know, fancy variables, exponential math kind of stuff. And it is kind of taking that into account to think that it maybe gets towards 20. But it does generally look at Oklahoma in terms of matchups with Georgia and predicted yardage and such based off their entire year, and it's probably not fair. Oklahoma is going to be a better offense. I just don't know that a better quarterback for Oklahoma necessarily means you double your score. I mean, maybe it makes a big difference, but Georgia is so good defensively, and Oklahoma, as good as they are not Kyler Murray Oklahoma, that it gives me some concerns. And the one thing I'll say, if you think about Oklahoma 2018 versus Alabama, and this is what the model's seeing, when they faced a team that could stop the run, the defense really sputtered. And when Alabama lost, it was, I think, Miller was like their edge player they lost in that game, and then Oklahoma got some footing and started running the ball some, everything opened up and they got a lot more effective. Georgia is way better defensively than the LSU team that shut them down, than that Alabama team that shut them down for a bit. And I don't think it's unrealistic to think Georgia could shut down Oklahoma, just because it breaks a lot of the stuff Lincoln Riley needs to work in order for that offense to function.
Yeah. And I think, like, I do think 2018 Oklahoma offense was awesome, and they would put points up on this Georgia team. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is TCU gave up 42 to SMU. TCU gave up 32 to a bad Cal offense. TCU gave up 31 to Texas Tech. And Ohio State fans might be a little mad at this. We're also in a little bit of a wait and see, somewhat hesitant on the Ohio State offense, just like I am on the Oklahoma offense. Not saying they can't, but I'm saying it's an incomplete, because I want to see you do it against a good defense. I want to see, like, because there are these stress points where offenses explode when the defense is a certain level of mediocre, whereas if the defense was 20% better, the offense goes down to nothing. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Oklahoma. I do think that Caleb Williams brings some things to the table that would make it a lot harder than what Georgia saw Saturday against Kentucky. But let's not forget, like, also against Texas, like, how many points did that mediocre Arkansas offense put up? Like 42 points. So I think that's also worth considering. Now, Josh, you know, just because they've dumped on bad teams doesn't mean they're a bad offense either, right?
No, it doesn't. I mean, you can play bad teams and be a great offense. We see it all the time. You know, like UCF in 2017, everybody kind of dunked on them and said they wouldn't score in Auburn. I mean, the biggest deal in that game was actually that UCF's defense had been really bad all year. Auburn had a bunch of injuries. Part of the reason why Georgia blew them out in the championship when they lost to them earlier. And Auburn just couldn't score. But that offense that put up points in bad G5 play put up points against Auburn just the same. And I think Oklahoma would do the same. I mean, the one thing we've given short shrift on this particular matchup really is Georgia. Because Georgia has very efficient quarterback play. They've got a dominant run game with a good offensive line. They've got a lot of emerging weapons. We've taken heat all year because we keep saying, look, you've got good offensive weapons, but there's only so far, even a high-level tight end that's you're not got a Kyle Pitts that's a big wide receiver that can block. I mean, Bowers is a really high-level tight end, but he is a tight end and a blocker. He's not going to have 80-yard completions against a high-level defense because they're going to run him down.
Right.
They don't have that first-round draft pick, CeeDee Lamb, Hollywood Brown receiver on that roster. And Pickens is, if he plays in the playoff, which our model can't see, by the way. It's assuming these guys are out, and it's built off them coming out. I don't think he's going to be 100% healthy. But, you know, I do think because Georgia has seemingly been relying on a lot of the guys they've been playing all year, the model is a little more accurate than Georgia fans want to give it credit for. And that's why it's been accurate the past couple weeks. I mean, it had Georgia getting 34 points against Auburn, which was the actual amount they scored. And Yeah, I don't think that number is unrealistic. I think the bigger issue really just is that Georgia defense is so good that offensively you have to be really good and balanced to be able to start doing things well enough to strain Georgia so that you can actually start getting plays off. And I don't know that Oklahoma so far has shown the ability to get there. And so as of today, when we're doing this model on, and I'll tell you, recording on October 17th, I think it makes sense. We want to move on to the next one.
All right. Yeah. So the next one, we've got Ohio State and Alabama. Again, you noted that Cincinnati could easily be in this slot. We might end up doing a hypothetical that involves Cincinnati. But again, this week, we got to get as many eyeballs as we can. And this is a pretty interesting matchup, especially for Ohio State fans. That I've seen a lot of Ohio State fans say that they hope Georgia beats Alabama. But I would think if Ohio State fans want that revenge like they got against Clemson last year in the playoffs. So let's talk about what the model says in this matchup, because it's actually really interesting.
It has this an interesting game, right? It has Alabama 41, it has Ohio State 40, and it's right at a point. There are actually some decimal work if I want to fudge with the inner workings of the model. But it's right at a point difference. And it's really sort of the tale of two sets of advantages. One, it has Alabama with an advantage defensively, and two, it has Ohio State with an advantage offensively. Ohio State's offense puts up more yards and points than Alabama does. Alabama has the defensive advantage in some statistics, like they allow less yards per carry, they allow less yards per pass. The biggest difference is if you were to look at the pure stats, Ohio State would have an edge. But when you factor in competition, and again, this is a neutral model. I run the same model the same way every time. I just put the numbers in, see what it spits out. And it's self-taught, but it's self-taught based off how you did against your competition and the strength of that competition. Alabama gets a lot more credit for their statistics because their schedule is a lot more difficult. A lot of the teams Alabama have played have been pretty good, if not good on both sides of the ball or not all aspects, have been pretty darn good, at least in some aspects. You get like a Florida team averaging over 6 yards a carry. You have an Ole Miss team averaging over 5 yards a carry, over 9 yards per pass attempt. And Ohio State hasn't played teams that have the ability to do that as consistently. And because of that, you see like Alabama, 76% of opponent rushing averages, where Ohio State is 91%. Per play, they're about 0.4 of a yard different. But when you factor in level of competition, that's where the model starts to really give Alabama an edge. And you combine that with the fact that Alabama has been more efficient in scoring. And so even though Ohio State is expected to outgain Alabama a little bit per play, Alabama would be more efficient at converting third downs. They would be more efficient at staying basically making conversions, scoring in the red zone, maybe getting defensive turnover. It's that kind of stuff to where Ohio State sputters out and Alabama finds a way to win. Maybe more yardage on more plays, but less yardage per play. But really, really, really tight at this point in the season based off what the two teams have done to date.
And I do think the model's seeing something that we've been giving, even though we have a question mark for Ohio State's offense, we've been giving them credit. Because you can watch teams play and see that they're effective offensively or defensively, even against bad teams. And it's why we kind of think Oklahoma's got this going on too. I think that Ohio State does enough things that would give Alabama trouble, and people are going to not think about the run game in Henderson, and that's where you beat Alabama. We saw, you know, an air raid offense put up 9 points against Alabama Saturday because they don't run the ball, and you're not beating, even with the defensive struggles we've seen with Alabama, you're not beating them if you don't have a running game that can keep them honest. Ohio State does. Now, on the flip side, Alabama can score some points too. I mean, they're still Alabama. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of these where the model's close because everybody kind of feels like it'd be close because these two teams feel like they're about of equal quality. Josh, what do you look for in this situation for a team like I'm rambling. I'm going to do real quick. Josh, is there anything that sticks out in the numbers other than what you've touched on that would make you, like, we're not picking this, but make you lean one way or the other?
It's right now there's really not, and most of the time I can point to something, but it is odd to see Ohio State with a higher yardage total. I mean, it's a full yard better basically than Alabama, and Alabama being a slight favorite. And I think the thing that makes me think the model is somewhat right there, though, is Ohio State's had some really, really crazy yardage numbers, and they're putting up 40 to 50 points, and Alabama has found a way to get to 40 points with, like, 6 yards per play. Like, the Ole Miss game, under 6 yards per play, they hit 42. In the opener against Minnesota, Ohio State had a 10.3 yards per play, and they hit 45. And it's really suggesting that Alabama is just a lot more efficient than Ohio State. And so the question, if you get to the playoffs and if you're watching these two teams, is which happens faster? Does Ohio State improve more in efficiency, or does Alabama improve more in explosiveness? And whichever one of those does better at the thing they're trying to do, that's probably the team that wins this game, because it is predicted to be a shootout. And those are both, they're both good in all areas, but those are the two areas where both have a chance to still improve from where they are today. And given how much of a difficult, challenging, evenly matched matchup it would be, that's sort of the two things I think would determine it.
So I think we saw from Alabama Saturday, 49-9 over a decent, not great opponent, but decent. So when you have a team that's able to do that sort of thing and score as efficiently as you mentioned, that's going to be my counter to Ohio State fans that are like, Alabama's already got a loss and they haven't played anybody, which I would say that Ohio State's right in the same boat. This game, to me, would be probably a pick'em, and it would be one of those weird plays that changes the game, a pick six, a block kick, something like that. It would be one of those that feels like a possession game. Alabama fans can remember the Ole Miss game last year where it kind of felt like that. So, all right, so let's get into the final game. Obviously, based on the model, it would be Georgia and Alabama, and see what it says.
So this is the one that's probably going to draw the most controversy, and I swear, we just run the model the way it sees it based off performance to date, and our model, based off how they have played to date, thinks Alabama would beat Georgia if they played today. It has Alabama 32, Georgia 29. Here's the interesting thing with statistics here. It has Georgia outgaining Alabama 6.1 yards per play to 4.6 yards per play. 4.6 yards per play is not a great number by any means. I think what this model is saying, in a nutshell, is that Alabama has the ability, due to the explosiveness on offense, to put up 30 to 40 points in most any game, as long as they're getting anything resembling good production. And what it's also saying is that Georgia, for too often, is slowing down or stalling against reasonably good defenses. They don't have a ton of explosiveness against reasonably good teams. I mean, I know, like, they blow out Arkansas and they blow out Kentucky, but they're not putting up 40 points. And in a lot of those games, you know, Alabama versus Mississippi State, it's 49-9. And it's a very different way they get to that number. So that's how it gets 32-29. We've already talked about Georgia and Alabama. Their statistics, Georgia's defensive statistics, are crazy. But the one thing I'll key on is Alabama is a much better run defense right now than they are a pass defense. And Georgia is much more reliant on the run. And the internally, our model does take into account how an offense is built. It doesn't just, like, take the average of your run and your average of the pass, add them together and divide by two. It does balance based off how your offense approaches things, and it does it differently for every team. So the fact that Alabama has been a little bit better against the run than they are the pass helps them versus Georgia more than Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma helped them too, but in particular, we did a hypothetical with Ohio State and Georgia, right? And Ohio State is a slightly better team against the pass than Alabama right now, but they aren't nearly as good against the run. And that's why, even though it has Alabama and Ohio State as being dead even, and even though last week we did a model where Georgia and Ohio State were dead even, it has Alabama as a slight favorite ahead of Georgia, because it is based on this specific matchup, and Alabama's matchups give them a little bit more of an advantage than Ohio State did, because Ohio State has a pretty suspect run defense still at this point in the season.
Yeah, and I think that Georgia fans will again point out that our model has undervalued by them a little bit this year. So, like, even if you look at the Kentucky score, like, it was off by, you know, 5 points.
25-16, Georgia or Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah. So it gave Kentucky 3 more points, and it, you know, dropped Georgia 5 more points than the actual production. And that may not seem like a lot, but in a game like this, it actually would be a lot. So in that regard, it probably has this closer to a pick 'em than people would think. I will say that it looks like Alabama, going from the third quarter of the A&M game through the Mississippi State game, it looks like they've figured out a few things in their pass protection, though facing Georgia is a little different animal. Georgia fans are going to say that we found something at our five tight end set that we like to put out there. I joked Saturday that it was an 11 tight end set. All the tight ends in the world, and that JT Daniels would be back by then. I want you to touch on this a little bit. We're not going to, especially, I mean, we can in a hypothetical, but right now there is no, like, I don't know that there's a timeline for JT Daniels or Pickens or any of these others to come back. Washington looks to get a little healthier, but we're not going to bake in production for something that we don't know.
Right? Yeah, and again, this is a statistical model. It has to be built on what you've done this year and what the team has been able to accomplish this season. If I were to start baking in predictions based off what happened last year or production that might theoretically come back, one, I'm telling it, injecting into the model my opinion of who's going to be healthy, my opinion of how much that player is worth. I let the model look at your season and determine what has been important or not important and how you've scored based off those factors. And I can't do that and then throw those things in because they're not something that's happened on the field so far this year. The other thing is, you know, Georgia seems to have settled in to their, you know, like McConkey and Bowers and those guys. They're the same guys that were kind of playing earlier in the year to a certain extent. It's been the same rotation, and they've changed which guys have been the starters, some more so than others. But it's generally been the same cast of characters, and it's been sort of developing those guys more than it has been getting back guys from injury. Because Pickens is unlikely to come back to 100%, maybe even unlikely to return. And I don't think anyway Gilbert's coming back. So your top two threats aren't coming. And the other thing you have to be fair with is, on the other side of the ball, you've got Alabama, who's themselves been trying to figure things out. They had a lot of new, you know, turnover in the production. They're playing new players every week. They've had injuries at the running back position. They may get some of those guys back. They've had guys in and out of the lineup on defense. It's normal, and this affects both sides. But the model is just saying purely based off what you've done this year. And I think what would surprise a lot of people, maybe you can comment on this, right? Do you think people would be surprised based on just how these two teams have performed, given the teams they've played against, that our model actually thinks Alabama's the better team based purely on the results they've actually managed to produce?
I think people would say that. I mean, people have a tendency to write Bama off after they take that first loss, not remembering that Alabama's under Nick Saban has only had two, I think, undefeated seasons. But in the back of their mind, and this is what we said on a live show a couple weeks ago, Georgia's clear number one. Georgia is the monster. There are three teams in the country that could potentially beat them on a neutral field: Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Alabama. And it's the answer is still Alabama. That doesn't mean that they would. That doesn't mean that Georgia won't beat them by two touchdowns. We might see that in Atlanta this year. We might see Alabama lose another game. But for me, in terms of coaching, recruiting, talent, scheme, ability, if they put it all, you know, motivation, everything all together, these are the three teams that could beat Georgia. And we're saying that, and this is a testament to what Georgia has done so far this year, right? Because we're saying all this in that Georgia's clearly the monster this year who could beat them. And this is what Georgia has really failed to get all along, in that they're what we have been saying for Alabama the last decade. They are the one that everybody's chasing now. I want to ask you this, and in terms of modeling, and really in terms of your perception, Josh. with what we saw or have been seeing from Auburn lately, and our opinion becoming a little more nuanced there on Auburn, if Auburn keeps winning games, does that change your opinion for the better for Georgia? And how much potentially could that change the modeling for Georgia and the numbers for Georgia, given that we thought initially that it wasn't that great of a win, although still a solid win, could turn out to be something that really helps them in the numbers in terms of modeling at the end of the season?
The one thing that I think is important to realize is our model doesn't actually care what the win-loss record is of each team. I don't know that we've ever said that. It's not a factor. Our factor is pure statistical production. And the reason for that, when you talk about whether or not you're going to win the next game, no matter how much people talk about, oh, we're on a roll, we find a way to win, etc., the thing that determines whether you win the next game is just your pure statistical per-play production in each game, week in, week out. The thing that would help Georgia with Auburn is not so much if they were to keep winning, it's just if they were to keep improving and to keep putting up good stats. Auburn put up 7 yards per play against Arkansas, and that was a team that hadn't put up 7 yards per play. In fact, hadn't put up 6 yards per play since they played Alabama State, an SEC FCS team, in September 11th. So, yeah, if Auburn starts to improve and starts to put up more statistical, you know, good showings, then our model is going to say, look, Penn State, Georgia, the fact that they had rough games in those games probably has a lot to do with the defenses that Penn State and Georgia fielded. And it's going to start giving those two teams a lot more credit. The flip side is if Arkansas continues to look sketchy on both sides of the ball, our model's not going to give very much credit to the Arkansas game. And in fact, I'll tell you, it's already kind of headed that way. So it will vary up and down because it is relational, and it's not going to be about the win-loss record of the other teams. And yeah, that may be how you decide who makes the playoff, but we're talking about who wins a game to be played. That decision is really based off just purely looking at how you did in other games, how good those other teams are generally, not the win-loss record of everybody you play. That doesn't matter. It just matters how good you are, and you can only determine how good you are by looking at how good the other team was that you beat, or in some cases even lost to, maybe in a bad play. But all that is what really factors in.
Yeah, and obviously, y'all, I knew that. I was more asking about maybe statistical production, and Josh touched on that, but I don't want people to think that I don't know how our model works. The same goes for Alabama because they have to play in Arkansas. They have to play in Auburn. So some of that is there as well, although I could see Texas A&M dramatically helping Alabama in the modeling if they continue to improve, especially offensively. So, Josh, this one's running pretty long. Give me kind of your thoughts on what we need to see that we haven't seen so far this year from each of these teams to actually win the playoffs.
I already mentioned it in a couple games with Ohio State and Alabama, and I'll flip it around and talk about Georgia, Oklahoma. The thing you're going to need to see from each team, Georgia needs to find a vertical passing game, flat out. The model has them almost capped at around 30 to 35 points, consistent with their score in the Auburn game and the Kentucky game, playing a good defense. It just doesn't think there's enough explosiveness and verticality for Georgia to score more than that. And in the RPO era, and Georgia has a rebuilt secondary, and at this moment, we still haven't seen them play any defense that's good enough to throw downfield consistently enough to let us really know where they are or not at. They might lose a game just because they dominate per play, but they're not explosive. The other team hits enough shot plays, even though they're maybe per play, they're worse, but those shot plays turn into points a lot better than, you know, trying to run it 6 yards per play, 6 yards per play, because you've got to have so many conversions to do that, right? You got to string 12 plays in a row together, and one holding call or one sack can blow that out. And that's what Georgia needs to do to be able to consistently win or dominate in this model as much as you think they should dominate based off their per-play performance. It's really just that explosive aspect that has such a big impact on scoring. In Oklahoma, I mean, it's pretty simple. The offense has just got to produce. They've got to be better. They've got to be statistically better in all phases because they're not right now, and as far as our model is concerned. And defensively, their pass defense is still actually a little shoddy. So that's what it comes down to. But all these teams really all have work to do in terms of explosion, in terms of efficiency. No one in the country has elite offensive stats. And if any of these four teams finds a way to be an elite on this offensive side of the ball, I think that team in our model and on the field is going to have a significant advantage.
And Ohio State fans will say that they're going to be the one to do that, especially right now, given that their yards per play numbers are looking really good. I think they're either number one or top three, something in that. All right, y'all, in the comments, let us know how you think this playoff scenario would play out. If this is the playoff you want to see, which is all red teams. I'm sure every shade of red is going to be offended there, but all red teams. Let us know in the comments how you think this would go and if you want us to do more of these hypotheticals. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. Check out our LSU at Orgeron separation content this week, and God bless.